Welcome to the April 2006 edition of Judd's New England Journal, the rather curious monthly musings of Judson Hale, the editor-in-chief of Yankee Magazine, published for over 70 years in Dublin, New Hampshire. Humpty Dumpty, sure. Moby Dick, never. New Englanders can accept a certain amount of fantasy and artistic license in literature, but not always. New England has often claimed the poems, songs, and ditties known as the Mother Goose nursery rhymes, even though I'll have to concede their origin was most assuredly in England during the 1600s. But at least there's definitely a New England connection. That connection stems back to an Elizabeth Foster of Charlestown, Massachusetts, who married one Isaac Goose of Boston. So Elizabeth Foster Goose, as the legend goes, eventually recited these nursery rhymes to her grandchildren so often that about 1719, one of her sons-in-law, a guy named Thomas Fleet, who was a printer by trade, Thomas Fleet, decided to put them in book form under the title Songs of the Nursery, or maybe it was Tales from Mother Goose, or possibly Mother Goose's Melodies for Children, or something. The reason we're not sure about this title is that no one has ever found a copy of this legendary little book, even though it's often listed under the 1719 date in American bibliographies. Listed in Boston tourist brochures today is the tombstone of what is referred to in these tourist brochures as, quote, the original Mother Goose, unquote. And all these tourist brochures say it's located near the Paul Revere Monument in the old granary burying ground on Tremont Street in Boston. I've walked through the old granary many times and noted all the gooses. Would you say geese? Anyway, I've noted all the gooses buried there, including Mary Goose, wife of Isaac, quote-unquote. Mary was apparently Isaac's first wife. I've never found Elizabeth Foster Goose, his second wife, however. Oh, well. As Mother Goose herself, whoever she was, once wrote, "For every riddle under the sun, there is an answer or there is none. If there be one, try and find it. If there be none, never mind it." It's interesting to me to realize that while New Englanders will happily enjoy fanciful legends about Humpty Dumpty, Little Bo Peep, and all other Mother Goose characters, we cannot seem to forgive artistic license in literature on matters pertaining to common sense. For instance, a number of fishermen and seafaring New Englanders with whom I've spoken over the years have no use for Herman Melville and his book Moby Dick. Too many nautical inaccuracies in it. They always point out that no whaling captain would ever have allowed his ship's tiller to be made from a whale's jawbone. Quote, "Too damn brittle," a Martha's Vineyard old-timer once fairly shouted at me. They never would have trusted it. They never would have used the jawbone of a whale. It might have snapped like a pipe stem in a big sea. Then the Pequod would have been without a steering gear. No, sir. They never, never would have done it. Well, so much for Moby Dick.